Good evening.
Good evening.
Great to be back with you tonight. Appreciate your presence here so that we can study God's Word together. A couple of quick things. First off, ladies, there is a card on the podium out in the foyer. It is for Miss Debbie Key. Be sent to her for a thank you card for her being here for Ladies' Day. And so if you have not signed that yet, if you will sign that on your way out tonight, we're going to try to go ahead and get that in the mail and get that on its way. And so it's a card. It's on the podium that's out there in the foyer. So if you'll sign that on your way out. Also, Stephen sent me a text up there in the booth. I guess they got a hold of Mac. Mac's brother has cancer, and he is at Jackson General right now. And so if you will, keep, of course, Mac's brother and then the rest of that family in your prayers. And I know that they would appreciate that. Several have asked about the car that I'm driving. That is actually Brother Taylor's car. It's been sitting at his house. My Honda, the white car, long story short, the engine is done. It jumped time on me, and that can do a lot of damage to the engine with the number of miles on that engine. It's not worth the money to try to fix it. So we got a used engine with about 65,000 miles that is on its way. Should be here in a few more days, and then we're going to put that engine into the Honda, and hopefully the Honda can just keep on trucking for a little bit longer. And so, but several of you saw the Brother Taylor's car and was like, we're curious where it came from, and that's, I called Rebecca, was just looking into it, and then she said, hey, just drive it, because it's just been sitting there, it needs to be driven anyway. And so that's what I'm driving until we get the other one fixed. This morning we began a study on the topic of how to love your mother. And to do that, we went, of course, to our perfect example. The example that we seek to follow in all things, and that, of course, being our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And we said that there were 5 points in all that we wanted to notice together. We noticed 3 of those this morning. We noticed that Jesus loved his mother tenderly. We talked about the fact that Jesus cared for his mother, while even on the cross, we see him loving his mother and looking out for her. We looked at the fact that Jesus loved his mother patiently. We noticed the event that took place in Luke 2 when Jesus is left behind in Jerusalem and the patience that he showed towards his mother. And then finally, we looked at the fact that Jesus loved his mother respectfully. And that brings us now to our 4th point, which is where we want to pick up tonight. 2 more points that we want to notice together. Number 4, Jesus loved his mother personally. Jesus loved his mother personally. Going back to the text in John 19, which is where we find Jesus on the cross, and we have one of those of the 7 sayings that Jesus made in that section. In verses 25 through 27, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour that disciple took her to his own home. Jesus is there upon the cross. He's in agony. He looks out and he sees his mother and he utters that phrase, woman, behold your son. And then he turns to, John's not identified by name, but we know that that's who's being talked about here. And he tells John, John, behold your mother. What's Jesus doing? He's making sure his mother's taken care of. He's demonstrating for us that he had a personal responsibility to make sure that his mother was seen to, that she was cared for. And notice he did this at the most profound moment of his life. I mean, this is the climactic moment. This is the whole reason that Jesus came, was to be that sacrifice upon the cross, to offer himself for our sins. Here he is on the cross, and he's in utter agony, but yet he still remembers that responsibility that he has. You know, he could have said, surely mom would understand if I don't have time to think about that at this moment. But he did. He made sure that she was cared for. You know, it can be easy sometimes if we're not careful as we are living our life. Maybe we have our own family now. Maybe we're climbing a ladder of success. Maybe things are going well, but we're busy with all these different activities for ourselves, for our children. It can be very easy if we're not careful to kind of push our mothers to the side. Jesus never did that. Have you forgotten the one who reared you, who cared for you, who taught you? You know, there were those in Jesus' day that they used religion as a way to try to get out of caring for their mothers. They had the attitude, you know, the Lord knows all that I do for so many other people. It's no big deal if I don't take a personal interest in taking care of her. But you know, Jesus said that won't work. In Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 10, we have an account where Jesus speaks to this mindset. What some of the Jews were doing is they were taking their money that they said had been set aside to care for their parents, and they were giving it to the temple. And they were saying, once I give this to the temple, that absolves me of this responsibility towards my parents, because that money that I was going to use for them, that's being given over here. What was happening was the priest was taking that money, and then he was turning around, keeping part of it, and then giving the rest of it back to him. Jesus, knowing that, addresses that. In Mark 7, verses 10 through 13, he says, "For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many such things you do." Notice, here he says, you use this as a way to try to get out of doing the things that you need to do, of doing the things that you're supposed to do. Here Jesus says, I don't care how religious you appear to be. Forsake your parents, then you're not doing what God said to do. Even on the cross, Jesus understood he had a responsibility. Even on the cross, he realized that personally he had to make sure that his mother was cared for. If we're going to love our mothers as Jesus did, we're going to love them personally. Fifth and finally, Jesus loved his mother forgivingly. Jesus loved his mother forgivingly. Think about it for just a moment. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, was born of Mary. And that means as a baby, no doubt Mary held this child. You've probably heard the song, Mary, Did You Know? And you can't help but wonder sometimes, as she's holding this baby and she looks into his eyes, how often she must have thought, not only is this my son, but this is my Savior. And not only is he my Savior, but he's everyone's Savior. This is the one who will redeem me from my sins. And as we look at the context of what we've been studying in John 19, there he is on the cross. And he's doing exactly that. He's giving his life for your sins. He's giving his life for my sins. But he's also up there giving his life for the sins of Mary. You see, Jesus was a good son and a perfect man. Mary was a good mother, but she was an imperfect woman. And so when Jesus died on the cross, he wasn't just dying for everyone else. He was dying for her. He was loving her forgivingly. Now, how does that relate to you and to me? You have a living mother? Is that relationship strained? Are there problems that exist there that maybe you could help to heal, to rectify? Do you have any bitterness towards her? Are you not communicating as you should? I'm not asking who's responsible. I'm not asking who's at fault. I'm just asking if that's the situation. And I understand that there are some situations where maybe those old wounds can't be healed, because maybe there's no desire on the part of that individual to heal those wounds. But as the Bible says, as much as it lies in you, live peaceably with all men. If there are things there that you can forgive and are willing, and they're willing to seek that forgiveness, then we should forgive those things. We should seek to mend those rifts as much as is possible. I know that not all mothers are godly mothers. But as much as we can, we need to seek to love them forgivingly. I've always looked at that idea of agape love. Many times we refer to it as unconditional love, and that's fine. But I think it makes more sense when we understand that agape love is a love that's not based on the object of the affection. When I love Steve with agape love, it has nothing to do with Steve. But it has to do with me. That's why the Bible can say that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God still loved us and sent His Son, even when we were at odds with Him. Why? Because that's agape love. It didn't have anything to do with us. It had to do with Him. And we can love, when the Bible says to love our enemies, you know, we read that and maybe we think, that's impossible. Well, you got to understand what kind of love is being talked about there. It's not talking about phileo love, friendship love. It's not talking about that brotherly love. It's talking about agape love. A love that wants what's best for the other individual. And that love doesn't depend on them. It depends on me. Even though Mary was imperfect, Jesus did all that He could to love her forgivingly. We're going to love as Jesus loved. He loved His mother tenderly. He loved His mother patiently. He loved His mother respectfully. He loved His mother personally. And He loved His mother forgivingly. And let's all do our very best to do the same. This evening, as you think about your mothers, so we said this morning, of all the things that you could give her, the greatest would be to live a life for God. And so I ask you, are you living that life tonight? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, will you take that step? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to turn from sin, confess that belief, you can be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Those old sins can be washed away. You can begin a new life in Christ. Maybe you've done that, but this evening you realize, you know what? I haven't been living my life as I should. I've turned away from God. Why not turn back to Him tonight? We serve a God that waits with open arms, that wants His child to come home. You need to come home this evening? If you do, we ask you to come right now. Together we stand and sing.